Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Where? That means the scripture is very clear that Satan's power and authority is resident in this earth. He occupies and operates from the earth because he has interest, interest in this earth. But not only the earth, but the sea. He operates from the sea. He lives in the sea. He has some of his secret operations in the sea. And the situation is so severe that there was a proclamation, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. He said, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath. What does wrath mean? The word wrath here is the word thumos, T-H-U-M-O-S. And it means strong passion. It means breathing hard. The way a dragon breathes. Fierceness. Indignation. Anger. Please understand that the person being described here is the one that is known as that old serpent. And when you see the when you hear about the old serpent, we are going back to the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. Some have argued as to whether it was a serpent that spoke to Eve, or maybe it was a spirit or the devil. But now we have seen from Revelation chapter 12 that that old serpent is who? The devil. All right. He said he has great wrath because he knoweth that he has but what? But what? A very short time. Now, you imagine that you have exams to write and you are there. Stay 3 months' time. I can still play now. But imagine since when God has been on this matter. And God said, even Satan knows that he has a short time. So if the last 6,000-7,000 years is what Satan is calling short. So what is the true definition of short? I want you to think about it, because when you think you are going through a challenge, and Pastor, this challenge, I've been going through it for 5 years, I want you to imagine what you really call long, because as far as the Bible is concerned, even 6,000 years is short. So the title of this exhortation is, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, let's do a little Bible study. So let's start from verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Now, the matter of spiritual warfare is something we must lay to rest tonight. There was war in heaven, and God was there. I want you to think about it. All right. There was war in heaven. You see, this is chapter 12 of the book of Revelations. How many chapters do we have in the book of Revelations? 22, right? So, 12 plus 12, 24. That means, as at crossing halfway into the book of Revelations, which is the last book of the Bible, look at God still talking about warfare. Are you with me? See, let me tell you. You cannot rule out the place of spiritual warfare. If you don't want to be a spiritual cripple, you must be trained for warfare. You must be empowered for warfare. Whether you are a housewife, or you are an engineer, or you are a medical doctor, or you are a pastor, you must be trained for warfare. This matter is so serious. We are going to need it in the days to come. In fact, David was speaking and he said that the Lord trains my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Look at those choice of words. He said my hands. The hands there represent somewhere from the shoulder here all the way to his fingers. And what is he trying to describe there? He's trying to describe strength and depth. Because in those days, the weapons you will need to fight will either be a sword or a spear. Alright? In fact, if you were to use a shield, you would they will need to measure your weight to know the kind of shield you can lift. In fact, sometimes the strength of a man can be described or defined by a soldier now by the strength of his shield. In fact, speaking about Goliath, the scripture told us the measurement of his shield to illustrate that not just anybody can fight this man. You can't bring a Goliath to a lightweight battle. Alright, this kind of guy has done the featherweight, he has done the lightweight, he's now doing heavyweight. So, your shield, praise God, is a description of your spiritual strength and stamina. But how many of you know that as Christians, we also have our own shield? And it's called the shield of faith, praise God. Are you still here? We have a shield of faith. But how many of you know that our faith answers to us differently? Are we together? Our individual faith answers to us differently. In fact, Paul was teaching us and he said that we are to fight the good fight of what? So your measurement spiritually, when we want to weigh you, your depth, your capacity, we look at how you are able to use faith. Are you with me? How you are able to use faith as a person. All right. Now, when I was in corporate world, well, I'm still there anyway. You know, sometimes we have things to do, we have reports to prepare, and all of that, and everybody's working on an Excel sheet. This person is working on this report for this project. This person is doing this, and probably is. In my own case, I used to work on about 268 accounts. No, I needed to proof all those accounts. But you know, sometimes I run into some problems with those Excel sheets because some of the Excels are formatted, which means once I key in certain parameters, it automates the result. But there are some of these, we call them GL accounts, general ledger accounts, they are not automated. And some of these sheets are as old as Methuselah. There is so much data in them. And you have to proof them at certain times of the month, some every quarter, some half year, some end of year. And they expect the results or the report to come in at a certain time. Now, your ability to walk through those sheets, get them ready so that you can move on to other things, because everybody's going to start report at the same time. But you find that your boss or your reporting line or your supervisor begins to scream and say, "Where is your report?" And you say, "I'm not ready." And then he says, "How can you be the only one in the region?" Have you ever gotten such a response before? Like, why are you the only one holding us back? Everybody is done. When you begin to hear that, what are they trying to tell you? Your proficiency, your ability to work on this thing, even though you know it, is weak. What is the measurement? What is the tool for measurement? Time. How much time that I have to spend on this thing? As against what Pastor Osei, oh goodness, are you here? So we are praying about the same thing, but Osei goes into the prayer room and he comes out 20 minutes later and says, the Lord has spoken. All right? Somebody goes in and he also knows that God will not talk till 7 days. Because you are trying to lift a certain weight for which you don't have the dexterity, you don't have the proficiency. I'm talking about the subject of faith here, because you see, this matter of the shield is very important in spiritual warfare. They'll say that the Paul tells us that it is called the shield of faith. And the thing about the shield of faith is it is always measured according to your height, your weight, your capacity as a warrior. You cannot say, I have great faith, and yet you are only able to deliver on things like headache and malaria. In fact, the subject of faith is so important that Jesus also alluded to the fact that not all faith is the same. We've seen in scripture where the reference was made to, oh, little faith, oh, you of little faith, right? In fact, Jesus, speaking to us about how to dispense the power of God, told us that if we had faith as small as what? A mustard seed. What was he doing there? Giving us measurement. Are you here? It is giving us what? Measurement. Which means that if most of us are unable to dispense a type of faith that can do the impossible, impossible here meaning that we are able to pull out, in quote, mountain-like situations, it means our faith doesn't even measure up to a grain. That's what Jesus is saying. So the question I may ask you tonight, and those who are listening online, is how strong or large is your faith? The scripture said in verse 7 that there was war in heaven, because when we are dealing with the subject of spiritual warfare, you cannot take away the matter of faith. There are people that fast and pray, but they do all these things so well without the element of faith. Do you know that even if you are called into the ministry as a pastor or as a prophet, a certain allocation of faith needs to be given to you to do the work? If not, you resume that job, you will just run away. They're looking for a pastor. And that's why when you don't understand what the work of a pastor is, you may not know that it takes grace. It takes the grace of God to be a pastor and other things. Are you here? The Bible calls it the work of the ministry, not the flanger of ministry. It's called the work of ministry. Because while you go to the bank and you deal with clients, a pastor resumes at his desk and deals with demons. He deals with the problems. Yeah, spiritual problems for which you prayed and your faith could not lift it. Are we together? Don't go anywhere and tell anybody that a pastor doesn't have a job again. His work is cut out. It's cut out because he's dealing with impossible things of which he has to stay in alignment to God till he gets a physical, tangible evidence that that matter has been resolved. And if he has to stay there for 3 days, he will do that, because that's the nature of the work. And that's why scripture says, count them of double honor, they that labor amongst you, except they that labor, especially they that labor in the word. You see, the scripture describes the teaching of the word, like I'm sharing with you right now, as labor. Because you may have the Bible in front of you, but you may not be able to dispense it this way. You may have the Bible in front of you, and as you are preaching it, even you know that you don't have faith for what you are saying. You may preach the word of God like this and live here with spiritual attacks at your chest. You may find arrows testing you. You may be here one day and you are preaching and there are witches here who came to check you out. So the Bible calls it labor. It calls it warfare. It's warfare. So I appreciate your leaders when you see them, because this is warfare. It's not anything interesting. All right? And if you think that you can do any other job, and if you're a Christian, you will meet with warfare there. I don't want to marry a man that is too spiritual. You don't know life. You don't know life. Life is spiritual. It's by nature spiritual. It's inherently spiritual. You need to, even if he works, oh my goodness, are you still here? You need to marry a husband that is spiritual. His job may be that of a banker, but don't marry banker, marry husband. Marry a spiritual man. He may be an engineer. Don't marry engineer, marry husband. Some of you marry the career. You now realize that the career took him out of your life. And then you started shouting. There are people who got married and realized they married for the wrong reasons. There are some who married because they wanted to marry early to realize that in life there is no rule. We are not on the same race. Eventually, they still had to wait for others because they rushed ahead. There was war in heaven. If there is war in heaven, I tell you there's war on earth. Are you here now? I said if there's war in heaven and God was there and God saw it and God did not flinch, that means you have no right to say there's no warfare on earth. Let's rest this matter today. And when you know that there is room, God has made allowance for spiritual warfare, what should I tell you? Go into the training room. Go and begin to train yourself. Go and begin to develop yourself. Begin to look at your family and say, look, this is the last time we are going to deal with it. You stand as an, every family should have an intercessor. You wear your belt of truth and you say, no, over my brother, over my sister, I'm going to pray you through. You don't know the power of having powerful Christians as siblings. Many of us don't have that privilege. If you have it, you better be grateful. Some of you, even though you are Christians, you can't even call yourself together to say, let's pray on Friday. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some of your family members, your sisters, they will grumble and tell you why they are tired. But you are seeing something. You are seeing something. Praise God. So there was war in heaven, and the Bible began to describe to us something about this war. The first thing we saw is that Michael and his angels, what did they do? They fought. Put up the scripture. Michael and his angels, they fought. God gave permission for them to respond. I want you to know that every time you begin to engage in spiritual warfare, in the spiritual realm, what God does is that he dispatches angels. Come on, say amen. This is not about being a pastor. This is about being a child of God. The least amongst us here, even the little ones amongst us here, the moment they say, Father, in the name of Jesus, the moment you call that name, you connect to the mainframe. The moment you call that name, you connect straight into the heart of God. It is not part of those things you do when you call the customer care line of your bank and they put you on queue. This one, you are not on queue, you're on a direct line. Come on, say direct line. You're on a direct line to God. God has enough channels to accommodate everybody. He doesn't have to keep you. There is no special child with God. There is no grandchild with God. We are all God's children. We all have ourselves. The problem is that somebody is not praying. That's the problem. And some of us who are praying don't even believe. Some of us want to see the answer before we believe. It doesn't work. You have to believe before you receive. The scripture said there was war in heaven and Michael and his angels fought. So the moment there was a territorial threat to the move of God in your life, the moment Satan began to plan, God saw it and he moved. But some of you think that you have to wait to see the revelation. So you need to know how many things they fought on your behalf. Many of us should have been dead. Hallelujah. And this is a good place to say thank you, Jesus. Because many of us really don't know. When you open that big mouth and you say, God, I don't know why my life's like this. God looks at you and says, Here goes another ungrateful child. In the kingdom of darkness, even if Satan didn't answer you, you can't talk back. Yes, go and ask. If they promised you something and they didn't deliver, and you complain, they will ask you to go and bring something more as sacrifice. For speaking anyhow. You are not even permitted to complain. You have to suck it up. That's why you cannot serve Satan without developing a great degree of wickedness in your heart. Because what you will put on the table will be a very high price. That's what it means to serve Satan. Bible said there was war in heaven and Michael and his angels fought and against the dragon. And I told you that dragon, I was looking it up in the concordance. He says, this dragon is dracon, and it means it has a description. Number one, it carries the description of red flame. Are you with me? I was trying to design that red flame in-house just before I came out here to preach, but I didn't really get it out. So that dragon depicts red a red dragon. That's what it means. But that red is not just red, it's red flame. All right? That means when this dragon has the element of fire, huh? Then this dragon is huge. Then this dragon has 10 heads. Come on, let's read about this dragon, because I want you to see why some of you chickened out of prayer. You are going through some spiritual battles and you ran away. Put up the scripture. Let's read what this dragon looks like. Where was I reading this now? Verse 3. Let's jump to verse 3. Let's look at this. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. You see, the scripture reported this guy as a wonder. So when you go to, it's not every church, it's not every place you go to and you see miracle signs and wonders that is of God. Because even the red dragon, God called it a wonder. Look at what he said. He said, behold, a great red dragon. You see, that word red is very significant. It's the similitude of fire. It's red flame. That word in the Greek means red flame. It has the red is not just red. It's that red that reminds you of fire. Red flame fire. He said it has 7 heads. Please look at your dragon here. A dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. Can you imagine what kind of dragon? Does that look like a baby dragon? Now, even if that dragon was a baby dragon, let's say it's the newest addition to the family, would you keep that dragon in your house? Knowing what this dragon can become if you keep feeding it. Do you know what this dragon eats? Can you guess? Huh? Guess now. What? Huh? Sir? I said, what does the dragon eat? He quoted the scripture. I said, okay, we'll get there. He said blood. All right. I will tell you. Some of you want to know. The last food this dragon ate, you gave it to him. You prepare it and you give it to him. I will show it to you. Don't worry. Pastor David, are you surprised? Okay, because I know you are a Christian. He said this dragon, even if it's a baby dragon, 7 heads, 10 horns, what else does he have? It has 7 crowns. Now, the word 7 there means perfect. And the word crown there means dominion, which means it has a legitimate authority to stand. Oh my goodness, are you here? To stand in that capacity it is standing. Can I also tell you that the crown upon his head, he got it from someone. Remember that I told you that this dragon, which the Bible calls the old serpent, first showed his face in Genesis chapter 3. And when it got into the earth, he met a man and his wife who God gave authority. So when Adam sinned against God, he took away Adam's authority to rule the earth. Which is why today, Satan is the god of this world. That role used to belong to Adam legitimately. Those set of crowns you saw was the legitimate authority of Adam, the authority to govern. It's a legitimate. That's why God could not ignore. God recognized those 7 crowns. But Adam didn't even know who he was. Are you here? It's not in the, you know, when you read the book of Revelations, you see a lot of depiction, signs, you know, images and symbols. The most important thing is to understand what is being said. Adam lost Adamic, his authority, which was legitimate. And because there's no vacuum, Satan took over. So when they go to heaven, Satan can visit heaven as Adam. Hello? Are you still here? Have I lost you? The way you are shaking your head, I know I've lost you. I said, when Satan went to heaven and they talked about Job, and they couldn't, did you notice nobody could send him out? Satan didn't visit, he doesn't have the right to visit every part of heaven, but he has the right to visit the court of heaven. The court of heaven is where the accuser of the brethren, also in this chapter, was, you know, that's where they show up, and he accuses us like day and night. The Bible says day and as you are here now, they've accused you already today. There's a case against you. While you are here fluffing and eating shawarma and downing three bottles of Coca-Cola, there's a case filed against you. Somebody wants to argue. This is the book of Revelation. It's not in the Old Testament. So you have to be careful. Don't give people false hope and tell. There's nothing like battle. God is love. God is love. Did you hear that there was war in heaven? You didn't read. Some people don't read Revelation. They only read what they like. I will bless you and multiply. Look, you are only as relevant in the spiritual realm to the degree of spiritual battles you are willing to fight. If you like, you can write that down. You will only be as relevant to the level of spiritual battles you are willing to fight. If you are the kind of person that runs away from battle, you will never be anything in the spiritual realm, except that which Jesus has done. So this dragon had seven crowns upon his head, and then he had a tail that drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. Now, the third part of the stars of heaven there is speaking about the angelic host. When Satan left heaven, he didn't live alone. He left with a third of the angels. So let's assume that we have 1 billion angels, but we have more than that anyway. But let's assume we have 1 billion angels. No, let's use an equal number that we can divide by three. Let's say 900 million. So a third would be what? 1/3. 300 million. Are you getting the figures now? Now, I want you to imagine that the angels are innumerable. So imagine how many angels left with Satan. Satan meant to destroy God. He meant to take over his kingdom. He felt God was too weak to be God, because God was love. Satan saw all the things he could do with God's power, of which God was not looking at. So God is old school. We want to bring in new system, new technology. So that was what started the quarrel. Somebody having inordinate affection. So he drew a third part of the stars. The stars there talk about the angels. All right. So now let's jump back to verse 7. Verse 8. Now in verse 7, the scripture says that Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon also fought with what? The dragon also has angels, yes or no? The dragon has emissaries. Did you notice that the dragons, the angels, were not referred to as demons? They fought in their angel-like authority. Strength for strength. Are you with me now? There was one of them that could no longer manifest as an angel. That was the dragon himself. But every other person behind him could retain their angelic form, and they fought with Michael. They didn't say, oh, because Michael is righteous, Michael is a servant of God. They fought. For people who are saying that, oh, as a Christian, Satan cannot try me. Are you still here? Say, Satan cannot do anything. I am in Christ. Christ is love. Christ is peace. He is also the man of war. I say he's also the man of war. He is also, the Bible talks about the sword that comes out from his mouth and slays his enemies. You see, the good thing about understanding spiritual warfare is that we are already fighting a battle that has been won. That's what you must know. That when God calls us to spiritual warfare, he's asking us to fight a battle that he has already... Are you still here? He's not asking you to fight in your strength. That's the problem. Many of us think we are coming to fight in our strength. No, the moment you try to fight in your strength, that's why you stay there for long. Are you here? He said the dragon fought back. So if you know that there are certain devils you will cast out and they will not go, they will fight, what does that tell you? You need to keep training yourself, preparing yourself, keep growing. Come and say, keep growing. Keep growing to the level where you are no longer judged in the spiritual realm by your height, by your physical height. David was small, if David was a giant like Goliath, they would have given him a fighting chance. Even Saul worried for David, because David didn't look like he had what it took to bring that Goliath. In fact, he said to David, he said, this man has been a soldier all his life. And you know the warriors of those days, those type of war, they are like cannibals. The way they fight, they use everything against you. It's not like the one that we do now and we just fight on Twitter. Those ones, when you see the person you want to fight, in fact, in some of those movies, you just see the guy, the other opponent will just fall down and die there, because some of them begin to defecate there. Because when you see the guy coming against you, don't even bother. Just die. Because if this one slaps you, if he slaps you, you may go deaf. If he swings his sword, the fear in your heart will not let you even attempt to dodge it. You die. As you are going into the battleground, people are crying. They know you are dead. They know he's dead. This is how he chose to die. He should have run away. The only answer is that, as far as you know, that there are certain challenges you will face in life that they will not go. You have to learn how to grow with that battle. Come on. Are you here? You grow with that battle. You wear the battle out. Now, this is the challenge with those who don't know how to pray for hours. If you don't know how to pray for hours, if you don't know how to develop stamina in praying, how many of you realize, since we'll be reading the scripture, that it's actually difficult to read three chapters at once? Are we here? You now realize that all more. Tominu, do you want to share your experience? You now realize that the Bible you have in your house, all more. Oh my God. It was not a problem until they said, let us read three chapters. You now realize that chapter one has 47. Oh my God. You will not be trying to rush. It's as though as you are rushing, the verses are increasing. They say, pastor said we should jot. I'm not jotting anything. Let me just read it and go away. The reason why we fast and pray is to develop what? Stamina. Because there are certain battles that rely more on stamina than on knowing what to do. Are you here? You may know what to do. What do you need to do? You need to rebuke it. You need to pray. Oh my God. I was listening to a man of God, and you know, very, very, very touching story. You know, he said the Lord sent him to a church somewhere in East Africa, and he said in that church there was an intercessor that used to pastor that church. He was the founder of the church. And you see, let me tell you something. As a pastor, and this year I'll be telling you a few things, it is good for you as members of the church to give allowance to your pastors so that they can pray. Are you with me? Let me repeat. It is a good thing for the members of this church, let me talk about verse 1, to recognize that just because the pastor is in that office and is alone doesn't mean you should talk to him. Maybe we are 10 years now. We can start talking about some things. Eh? We need to say, oh, since pastor came in, people have been coming and going out. Okay, enough. Pastor needs to rest. Because what you don't know is that by the time the pastor is spent, he now becomes very useless to even go back to his prayer room and say, some of those things that he spoke to you about. He's now so tired, he can't even pray for you again. But you wanted him to talk to you. And there's nothing wrong with that. But over-talking is also a problem. You can over-talk and you won't realize that even the matter you have brought, you are doing more danger to yourself. Because now the pastor cannot even take time. Because sometimes you talk to the pastor knows that this matter, I need to go and pray about it. He will pray for you, but he still needs to go back and pray about it. But 20 people who heard the message on Sunday still want to come to the pastor after the service so that he can repeat himself. The church is quiet. I'm telling you how to be proficient in spiritual warfare. That there are certain battles that we lost, not because it was God's will for us to lose those battles, but because we did not have enough stamina to remain there. So we lost the battle, not because we didn't know what to do, but because we ran out of battery. No more battery power. And how do we develop these things? In fasting, in praying, in telling yourself, this today, I will read 10 chapters. Today, the devil is a liar. And then you turn off your phone. Turn off your phone. The world will not come down. Nobody's looking for you. You get to the office by 6:30. Let me sleep. We are not sleeping today. Your body will cry. It will not die. I said it will cry, but it will not die. Don't give. Most of us are used to giving our body what it wants. But that's why many times we are not even aware that we are in a moment of warfare, because the warfare is on level 10, but you are on level 2. So they are deciding on your behalf on something you could not participate in because you didn't know. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out. Come on, say it was cast out. That old serpent, can you see him? That old serpent, the Bible began to describe this guy. We have to trace him back. There's only one serpent we know in the Old Testament. He said that old, you see, that guy is a very old guy. He has been there for so long. He said that old serpent called the devil. People are arguing on, was it a serpent? Was it a human being? Maybe it was a spirit. Actually, Adam had one wife before. Her name was Lilith. Have you heard that one before? Oh, you've not heard it. Sorry, you have not heard that one before. Raise your hands. That Adam had a wife before. That the name was Lilith. That Lilith is the mother of demons. And that was why God now created Eve. You people, you do your research. Oh. That if you read occultic books, that's what you will find. That Eve is not the first one. That people stop talking about Eve. And if you watch some movies today, Lilith is they use her as a figure. If you watch Lucifer, that popular movie, Lucifer, she's there as one of the actors. Those guys are putting things in front of you. You are not observing them because you don't know your history. Say Lilith, my foot. Meanwhile, you know Lilith is in the Bible? Okay, remind me, we'll come to that one. But Lilith is in the Bible. That name, Lilith is in the Bible. The people who brought it out didn't just invent it. Church is quiet, Pastor Kwe. Do you prefer this version of me, or should I go back to my Sunday version where I can be playing with you? Because today I want you to know what your learning how to pray will do for you. Because the moment they started fighting this battle, they didn't win immediately. Are you here? When Michael started fighting these bad guys, they didn't win immediately. But as they persisted, they began to win. And the scripture said, the devil was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan. Now, let's investigate this one. That old serpent. And in my scripture here, I have a snake, malicious. The word malice, you see, Satan has something against the people of God. It's a malicious spirit. When Satan comes against you, he's not coming against you because you think you didn't offend him. He's already offended because you are in Christ. You are the one who is thinking that this matter does not concern. Satan is not looking at it that way. 6,000 years is a short time. He has not forgotten. It's a serpent. He said that old devil. The word devil is the word diabolos, which means a false accuser, a slanderer. Who is an accuser? Somebody who finds fault and brings it into the public against you. But you look at this one, this rendition says false accuser, which means that the things he's bringing against you, they are not even valid. Why are they not valid? It's not because those things are not true. It is because those things are covered by the blood. Are you here now? I said those things are what? They are already covered by the blood of Jesus. So that is why when you pray, you have to learn how to stand before God and refute every accusation against you. When you pray at night, and when you pray, whenever it is, you just feel the Holy Spirit, open your mouth and begin to pray and begin to refute every accusation. Somebody called me from one country this morning, and I won't say where. And told me, "Sir, I just feel led to call you. I just feel maybe you can prophesy and tell me something. This is the problem. It's been there for over 20 years, blah, blah, blah. This is a citizen of the biggest country in the world. But this person knows that there's warfare. I sat in my car. I had to go into the car, turned on the AC, and I began to talk to the person. Now, my talking to the person was not because I wanted to talk to the person. I was trying to see in the spirit if peradventure there's something the Lord would show me. And as I was talking to the person, I saw a baby that died. It looked as though it was aborted, but I just saw that the baby died prematurely and the baby was not born. And I said, I know you. You are not a wayward person. And I know you didn't live your life like this. I said, but I'm seeing a baby. I'm seeing a baby. I said, I'm tempted to think maybe you got pregnant and aborted. I said, but I'm seeing something else as though you got pregnant and the baby, you did not give birth to that baby. The baby died early. The person kept quiet. I didn't say God. I said, this is what I'm seeing. The lady said to me, she said, she now laughed. She said, apart from me, I say, apart from myself, and apart from my husband, nobody knows that she was pregnant 1 year ago. And this is someone that is almost 50 years. The person picked up the phone, called our people in Nigeria. Hey, Egbamio, we are going to have another baby at this age. The baby did not last 2 months. Don't be naive. One of the things that will give you rest is to know the things that give you strength. One of the things that will guarantee your rest is when you know the things that God has put in your life to make you strong. When you know those things, no devil can try. You know where to give them the answer from. But if you are ignorant, they know that this one, once we attack her, she will start running up and down. The moment you begin to run up and down, you need to settle down. It means you are not ready for that battle. You need to get people around you to pray with you. The Bible said that old Satan, that devil, we deceived the whole world. Look how the scripture said. He said Satan, which deceives the whole world. Look at the power and the strength of Satan. Deception. Have you heard me say in this church that Satan doesn't fight power with power? That he fights power with what? With what? Deception. With deception. If Satan knows that you are a strong man, he will not come after you with power. He will look for a way to deceive you. The way he deceived Adam and his wife, by offering them something. Are you with me? So whenever you notice that somebody is trying to use one style to just get into your space, listen to me, they have checked you. They know that if they come against you physically, they will not survive it. They will not be looking for ways to get close to you. We want to become your friend. Those of us that are in this area, we should be talking. We should be doing things together. It's a lie. It's an attack. It's an attack. If your eyes are not spiritually open, you will not know your real friend. Your real friend may not even be talking to you. Are you still here? He said, we deceived the whole world and he was cast out into the earth. Where was Satan cast out into? Now, if there was war in heaven when Satan was there, then there's war on earth. Don't be happy that you don't know how to pray again. It's not a thing to be proud of. It's nothing to be proud of, because the day they come to your house like Goliath, that day your pastor's phone number may not ring. There's a story of a woman. Was I trying to tell you one story from East Africa? And I didn't finish, right? Abby, I mentioned East Africa. The pastor went to preach there. He said God sent him there. And the pastor of the church who founded that church was an intercessor. And while the man used to pray, God was sending people from different parts of the country and East Africa to come for deliverance and to be set free. And they were raising a lot of very small church, but they were doing a lot of great things, but they were poor. That church didn't have money. Satan tried to stop the man from praying. They could not stop the man. They now came, sent people from Korea, South Korea. They came to visit the man. How did someone in South Korea, do you know where South Korea is? That's the end of the earth. after wherever, like somebody in South Korea. Do you know how advanced South Korea is? South Korea is like the America of Asia. They are more advanced than any country in Africa. They are more advanced than many countries in Europe. South Korea and Japan, they are not playing. That was where I came from. That's my former country. I just woke up one day, I saw myself in Nigeria. I said, I'll come. I say, I should manage it. That is what it is. South Korea, they are not playing. They saw that there was a church. Satan projected and saw that to stop this man, we need somebody from outside that area. They brought Koreans. Oh, we heard about what God is doing here. How? Somebody just shows up in your life. How, madam? How did you know? How did you know what God is doing? Oh, we want to support you people. We want to build church for you. Deception. If the favor is too good, go and pray. God, should I take it? Don't just open your arms and say, take. So tell your children, even if daddy is standing there and somebody says, let my children take something. They must not take it until you tell them, take it. And if you don't want, tell them, don't take it. It doesn't matter who is standing there. Keep your money. Your money perish with you. If you have the devil, we don't need your money. We have enough problems. Because Satan knows they give anything free. And the day we collect, he will collect with your soul. Satan doesn't take money back. Now blood. Tell your children, even if I'm standing there, and someone say, happy Christmas, Merry Christmas. Say, mommy, should I take? Ask me. Don't stop looking as if. Ask me. I say, thank you, sir. God bless you. We have been collecting money since. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. But we have a church project. You can come and drop it on the altar. Don't go and I'm telling you, especially if God is giving you a sign. Don't be doing my mind, be behavior. Hey, don't touch it. Don't touch it. Once you touch, it's an agreement. Oh. Once you take it, it's an agreement. That you, I didn't know the money was for. Hey, that one is story. You better know what you are doing. You have to develop spiritual strength. Teach your children to be spiritual. Teach them to speak in tongues if they are in school. When they are in school, when they are on the road, teach them if they feel that there is danger, but take a talk, begin to speak. Don't wait for me. Don't come home to tell me. Tell me that it happened and you spoke in tongues. Train them. Teach your children to be able to use their hands to fight and their fingers in warfare. Don't wait. Daddy will not always be there. Mommy will not always be there. If they are not used to it now, when they grow up, what will they know? Say they cast out the enemy. They cast out Satan. Oh my God, my time is almost up here. And his angels with him. He said, the moment, and this is very important. In verse 10. He said, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is salvation come and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Look at the things that came. Look at the things that were revealed after that battle was won in heaven. Look at the things that became executed. Look at what they said. He said, salvation has come. He said, salvation has come. These are the things that happen when you go into the place of spiritual warfare and begin to gain victory. You will now notice that there will be utterances. God will begin to speak to you. He will begin to minister to you. He will begin to give you a sign. Sometimes he will give you a song. As you are praying, you will begin to sing. Something will happen. There is a message that is being given that now there is salvation, which means there is victory. That means this battle we are fighting, we have finally gotten the victory. The angels didn't sing that song. The voice did not bring forth that utterance until they cast out Satan. And you will not be able to hear that type of voice until you cast out the enemy from your family. He said, salvation and strength. Look at two things. Deliverance and what? Strength. Which means every time that there's a deliverance, the first thing God will do is that it will renew your strength. You will become refreshed again. You will become refreshed again. You can expect that you will be refreshed again. You can expect. God is saying, look, he says salvation has come. He says strength has come. He said, and the kingdom of our God, which means that area where that battle was fought, that family where that spiritual battle was fought, the kingdom of God will now take over that place. That means that every spiritual battle is about territory. Hallelujah. I say every spiritual battle in your that thing you are facing in your family, in your marriage, that thing you are facing in your office is about territory. It's about territory. You are a threat to the kingdom of darkness because you are a child of God having a shop in that area. You are a child of God working in that company. Satan has an agenda. God has an agenda. And they've seen you as a threat. So they need to take you out. They need to silence you, but the devil is a liar. He says, the kingdom of our God, which means his kingdom is now established in that office. You now become known as a prophet in that office. You become known as a voice in that this one is not part of us. You begin to hear people sometimes. You never told them you're a Christian. But after winning it, you just come to us, Pastor Mrs. They begin to tell you, like, I didn't tell you I was a pastor. I didn't tell you I was a pastor's wife. Sometimes on the road, you just always say, man of God. They greet you. You are just a usher in church. Oh. But you see, you won something. You won a battle. But you didn't even know the battle was won. God now sent somebody you didn't expect to say, woman of God, woman of prayer. I they feel you as you they pray for this area. Meanwhile, when you pray, you normally pray quietly. But you see, your prayer has caused problems somewhere. Then I realize that they no longer have the territory. That you are now the representative of God in that area, on that street. You are not the one that anything that wants to happen there, they must take permission from you. They've seen it in the spirit realm. You see, you must know your level, you must know your rank, you must know the promotions you gain when you fight all these battles, because every battle is about promotion. Every time you win a battle, you are promoted. You are not the same level you used to be, and if you have not been fighting battles, that's why you are not promoted. Yes. He said in verse 10, he said, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. These are the things we'll begin to see after every battle has been won. You will now find that those children that are wayward will start giving their life to Christ. The child that has left the house for years will suddenly call, I want to come home. You will now find that your travail, your intercession was not a waste. And some of you have been in church and you've seen how God here intervened concerning your brothers, intervened concerning your children. Listen to me, prayer is never ways. Go and learn how to pray. Go and learn how to pray. I'm not talking about this shuklu baba for 2 minutes. I'm talking about being able to pray. And you tell yourself, today, I never prayed 30 minutes before. If I go die, make I die. 30 minutes, we are going. And begin to pray. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. You will swear, the Nepal will take the light. Stay there. You will see mosquitoes everywhere. Stay there. Come on, say, I'm not weak. Come on, say, I'm not weak. He said the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. Why is this declaration being made? He said, because the accuser of what? Of what? Our brethren. Can you see that the battle that Michael was fighting was because of us? Are you seeing this now? He said, for the accuser of what? Our brothers. Our brethren. Has now been what? Oh. Do you understand the significance of that? Do you know that when you pray, your prayer goes through the first heaven to the second heaven to the third heavens? And that in the second heavens, that's where Satan sits. And that is where your prayer can get trapped. Are you here now? Are you here now? Daniel prayed, and his prayer was trapped for 21 days. A whole Daniel. Daniel, we know they commit sin. Eh? A whole prophet. Have you read the book of... Have you seen the kind of spirit that Daniel sees? It's not all this one spirit that call phone number and address. So these ones are not almost with they are spirits that when Daniel sees them, you become weak. They're not telling him, don't be afraid. It was God that sent us. When you see dragon-like spirits and you cannot run, angels that are terrifying, they look like flames of fire. Huh? Say, fear not, Daniel, for to this cause we have been sent to you. You are sent to me. Wait here, I do. He said, for the accuser of our brethren has been cast down. Come on, say, the enemy is cast down. Over in my family, the enemy is cast down. Over my destiny, the enemy is cast down. Over my family, the enemy is cast down. Over my business, in the name of Jesus, over my ministry, the enemy has been cast down.
He has lost his authority. He has lost his influence. He has lost his power in the name of Jesus. He has lost his influence. He has lost his power. Those are confessions you should make. When you wake up at night and you begin to pray, you begin to declare, for the enemy has been cast down. The enemy has been cast down. Begin to declare what the scripture is saying. That the enemy, I may not know what to do in this matter, but the scripture said the enemy has been cast down. And you stand there 1 hour. The enemy has been cast down. The enemy has been cast down. The enemy has been cast down. He said this enemy, he accuses them before God day and night. Can't finish this message now. Day and night. But whatever, if they like, let them change it to night and day. Their evidence will be thrown out. You don't understand that prayer. I say when you are busy in the office and they take your case in the spirit realm, they take it to their coven. They take it to their association. I said their evidence will be destroyed. Yeah. I'll finish this story on that pastor on Sunday, so remind me. You will not be weak again, no? Yeah. If you have children that are 10 years and above, tell them none of you should pray less than 30 minutes again. It's for their destiny. It's for their destiny. It's for their destiny. I'm telling you. Go and tell them. Go and learn minimum 30 minutes. They should go and learn it. I tell them, Mama doesn't have any power anywhere. It's only Jesus. So go, start praying 45 minutes every day. Pray in tongues. There's nothing like, Mommy, what should I pray about? Pray in tongues. I don't understand what Pastor Benga is saying. Pray in tongues. You will understand one day. See, and they overcame him. They overcame him. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, this battle that was being fought in the spiritual realm, we were now giving insight into the strategy of how that battle was won. You see, God is not hiding anything from you. Those people who tell you, oh, there is not, you don't plead the blood of Jesus. Okay, so how did they win this battle? How did they win this battle? The Bible said they overcame him. Which means that the righteousness of Jesus as contained in his sacrifice is strong enough to dismantle any, oh my God, to dismantle any opposition. Even when you are fasted and you have prayed and you find that you are unable to make progress, learn how to stand for 2 hours and begin to plead the blood of Jesus. This pastor in East Africa said when he began to pray over that church, a demon came out of the wall. There is it's not a demon, it's a principality called Azazel. Have you heard of Azazel before? Eh? Oh, okay. Azazel is one of the princes that fell with Satan. Okay, just leave that one. Azazel is known in the occult realm as one that, okay, we'll come back and address that one. But that was the spirit that came out. Every time they pray in that church, nobody's allowed to pray at night. You cannot do vigil in that church. Because Azazel comes to that church every night, and anybody he finds in that church will die. Like your head and your intestine will be splattered on the floor of the church wherever you are praying. That spirit, because they made a covenant with Korean witches and wizard. Huh? I will tell you the story again on Sunday. So when that pastor said, God told me to come and pray in this church and deliver this church, the pastor that he met said, we don't allow people to pray here because all the pastors that they have been sending to that church, they don't last. They want to pray at night. Azazel will come out and remove their head and bring out their intestine and put it there. So the church stopped praying. If you go to that church, they only sing. You will go to some churches. You will not know why they say, oh, where prayer fails, praise. Azazel has eaten their intestine. Their intestine, they can no longer pray. Nobody prays in that church again. The church that was known in that city as the Abinja, as the environment for prayer and intercession. All of a sudden, when you go, we lift our hands in the sanctuary. We lift our hands to give him the glory. They started singing. Say, ah. But the man that started this church was a prayerful man. Can you imagine that I leave this church one day? There's not a pastor that say, hey, shout amen, shout amen. Say, ah, but I know the pastor of that, that was you. Pastor Benga, he wasn't doing all this wrong. Say, hey, amen, hallelujah, man. Hallelujah. Say, ah, is it not a verse where I say, see, who is this one? I say, it's the pastor. He say, well, Pastor Benga, I say, he went to start another church. Say, hey, so this man now, is, he says, the GU. He's the GU. He's doing amen, amen. Don't worry, man. Jesus is here, man. Ah, ooh. Oh, my God. God forbid. Check him before you make him pastor. Let him come and pray for 7 hours. If his legs shake, he cannot be the pastor. He cannot. If his legs shake, he cannot be the pastor. I'm telling you. Before he come and start preaching, hey man, come and pray. Let's test you. Oh yeah, come and cast out this devil. See, my own area is administration. I don't really. Okay. We know your side. Me, I only know how to sing. My choir is my own side. I don't know how to. Okay, choir, you cannot be the GO. Cannot be the GO. Look at what. Give me verse 11. I will come back and I will address this matter very well. Because I know we are fast spent. He said, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies. And they loved not their lives today. These are three things that was deployed. And let me just give you a summary. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you here? How did they overcome? Now, for this scripture, for you to be able to deploy the blood of Jesus, you must have good understanding of what the blood of Jesus is, what it is capable of doing, and how that the blood of Jesus has no contender. Are you here? The blood of Jesus has. That brother said that. The brother is here alive. He said when Azazel came out of the wall and started coming, he said his head started swelling. He said the lantern, the bush lantern he was using to pray, went out. He just died. He said and Azazel was coming like this. He said not in the spirit, physically. He said you could smell the evil. Coming to us. He said he started praying in tongues. Started praying in tongues. He said, you know, it was just like one. He said he was praying in tongues for so long. And the thing was just like just taking one step. You know, when you are praying for 30 minutes and you thought you are having breakthrough, the thing now moves towards you again. Ah! Ali Makata! He said, oh God, this one is not about shaking. He said, the Lord just told him, he said, plead the blood. Plead the blood. Plead the blood. Plead the blood. You are trying to add. Plead the blood. Try. Slow down. Plead the blood. He said he started pleading. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. He said that's what he started saying. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. He said as he was pleading, he said the thing kept coming. The blood of, he said he just, God said don't move. Keep pleading the blood. He said the blood of, he said, just before he got to me, he said, he just changed. He said the blood of Jesus is against you. He said power just took the thing and threw it. Through that demon, he threw it, he broke through. Listen, that demon broke through the wall of the church. Broke into the pastor's house. Broke through the wall. The pastor jumped up. If the pastor, the thing broke through the, because the pastor's house was joined to the church. He said that place was where the pastor's bed was. It's like they threw a bomb. Which means if the pastor was also sleeping, the pastor would have died immediately from the shock. The power of God threw that spirit against the wall. It broke through the wall of the church, broke through the pastor's room, broke out into the compound. The pastor took another lantern and rushed in. What happened? What happened? Azazel. That was the day revival came to that church. Pastor stopped dying in that church because that demon only came for their pastors. As long as I can weaken their spirits, they will not be able to fulfill their ministry. God raised that church in that community as a prayer hub so that churches can be revived in that area. The church was like a spiritual battery for the community. But the moment they killed the pastor and started killing no pastor lasted 1 year in that church. The moment the pastor mistakenly prays in the church overnight, that was the last day. And because no pastor knew that was the last pastor that was attacked, didn't live to tell the next pastor that there's a spirit here that kills pastors because of the agreement they made. I will tell you the story on Sunday. I will tell you what the devil used as a gateway for Azazel to come into that place. Go and research Azazel. A-Z-A. Z-E-L. That's the name of that spirit. Say, plead the blood. You see, when you start pleading the blood, you may not notice and stand your ground. Stand your ground. Stand, you say, the blood of Jesus is against you. Give direction to what you are saying. The blood of Jesus is against you. You spirit, fighting for the soul of my daughter. You spirit, fighting for the soul of my marriage. You spirit, fighting for the soul of my destiny. The blood of Jesus is against you. Because when you come in the blood, it's not your power again. You have stepped out. It is the right, the most righteous element that was taken out of this earth into the heavenlies, that you are bringing as your evidence. It is the same, by the same blood, that our curses, our sins, our bondages, we are removed when we believed in Jesus. That blood is alive. When you plead it, you are invoking one of the most powerful forces in the universe. Say, plead the blood. He said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They began to declare. What is their testimony? The scripture says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What am I talking about in this case? Many times as you are praying, please listen to me. Many times as you are praying, you will notice that the Lord will be bringing some scriptures to your heart. As you are praying, he will be ministering to you. You will feel led to pray in a particular way. It may not even be in a way that you have planned to pray. Sometimes you wanted to just praise God. Before you know it, you notice that you are praying in another way. That is the word of it. The inspired words, the way that God is moving you on the inside to go in a particular direction. But when you begin to combine, sometimes you will have Bible verses, you will know a scripture, and you begin to quote it in the place of prayer. Sometimes you are not really sure, but what I'm praying about is for this. But you notice that the prayer is going, just stay there. This one is more important. The word of your testimony. You are giving testimony by the scriptures, by what is written, that this matter shall end in your favor. You are giving testimony. Sometimes as you are praying, you will feel led to open your Bible and you begin to bring out certain scriptures. It is the Lord trying to give balance, the blood and the testimony. The testimony is a witness. The testimony is you standing in court to say this is the truth. Even though you have an accuser that stands in court to say she's not qualified to be the mother of Jesus Christ. Even though you have an accuser saying that, he committed that sin, God cannot forgive him. You are now bringing a testimony saying, if any man shall humble himself and confess and turn away from unrighteousness, that land shall be healed. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, right? You begin to quote that scripture. You are bringing a testimony. You are bringing an evidence saying that according to the constitution, there's a provision for my restoration. When the devil tells you, you committed an abortion, you can never be free. You committed fornication, you can never be delivered. Then you will go into the scripture and say, whosoever comes to him, I will in no wise cast him away. That means I have the right to be here. I have right to enjoy forgiveness. I have right for a second chance. I know Satan, you don't have a second chance, but I have permission from the Lord to be forgiven. You can bring forth your case. The scripture says, bring forth your strong reasons. Bring forth your strong reasons. We are in court. You have to bring forth your strong reasons. If you don't have a strong case, even though you are innocent, the judge can find you guilty. They overcame him. It was a war. It was a battle. There was a battle. Go home tonight and prepare. This battle is not, you don't fight it anyhow. Go back and prepare. Look for the major problems. If you deal with the major problems, the smaller ones will go. Go and arrange yourself. Listen to me. In 3 months, in 4 months, we can deal with this problem. That thing that you think has been with your family for 20 years, if you prepare yourself, don't just enter carelessly. Prepare yourself. By the time we start that process, in 3-4 months, you'll be out. Hallelujah. I want you to pray in the spirit for 1 minute, and I want you to thank the Lord. Pray, 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 pray. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. If you heard something, I want you to pray. Pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Don't pray in your understanding. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Akata hikaba. Rasete kotoko piyasa. Zahikata ndele kapura. Zapreke di akuzila.